Good morning, Grantham Church. This is David Flowers, your senior pastor, and I want to welcome you to Church Online. As I said in a video earlier this week, we are not closed as a church. We're just doing church differently during the global pandemic of COVID-19. This is Sunday, March 22nd, 2020. And I want to just let you know that we have given a lot of thought and intentionality to how we are to be the church and do church during the next few months, or however long things are going to be like they are. Okay, and so lots of intentionality behind that. For example, we were never a live streaming church. Maybe we will be one day, but we haven't been. And so we're not going to do that. We're going to pre-record videos for you to watch on Sunday morning, all of us to watch together and engage together. And also you'll see in your email that you got that there is a liturgy, not just for Sunday morning, but also throughout the week that Pastor Dave has helped to put together. It's a great resource. I encourage you to follow that. So as I said, a lot of intentionality has been given. We want to think about how do we do church and be church during this time in a way that reflects who we are and have been and our values. We're also wanting to think about how we do church now. How will that impact us when this is over? What sorts of things will we continue to do? What kinds of things will we realize we don't need anymore? Maybe things we were doing before that we don't need anymore. But what I do believe, and I'm very confident of, during this time, God is going to teach us a few things. God is going to show us that we need each other in a way that we have not maybe realized before. We need connection. We're sensing it every day, right? We're sensing it every day. And so your staff is even thinking about this need for human connection, that maybe the midweek pastor's email is not going to be enough. We need to do more. And so, for example, we're going to do midday prayers on Facebook. Facebook Live at 12 o'clock to 12:15. I'm going to start us off Monday, Wednesday, Friday, midday prayers as a way of connecting with you throughout the week, on top of our weekend service that you can follow online. So I want us to think about that. There's a lot of the thought and intentionality behind the pre-recorded videos, behind the liturgy, by who we are through this and who we might be on the other side. We're not just doing what other churches might be doing. It's not elitist. This is who we are, and we're going to be intentional about it. Also, I want you to think about something. During this time of not being able to gather in the sanctuary together, not being able to meet face to face and to touch one another and to be in the presence of one another, to pass the peace to one another and actually shake hands and take communion together, it's important that we sense something is missing. Things are not as they should be. Things are not as God intends for the church to be. The gospel is about incarnation. I mean, you think about that. Technology can't replace incarnation, can it? No, it can't. Now you're incarnating and touching and being present with one another in your homes, with your family or friends or whatever. But as far as the corporate church here at Grantham, we can't do that. And we're not going to pretend that you're all here on Sunday morning. You're in your pajamas probably still, right? I'm not. At least I'm not from the waist up yet. That's all you see, right? I'm kidding. Hey, but really, think about it. Incarnation. Incarnation is important, and incarnation cannot be replaced by technology. So whenever we do come back, think about it. Whenever we do come back, corporate worship is going to have a whole new meaning for us. I really believe it. To be able to share the same loaf of bread and drink from the same cup during communion. And in the meantime, we'll just have to figure out how to do that differently. And I'll say more about that later, because I do think we can still participate in communion together. And as I said in the video earlier in the week, we are still in Lent, and we are going to remain in Lent until we are back in the sanctuary together. And then it is going to be Easter Sunday. That wasn't a metaphor. I was being serious. We are in Lent, and we'll be in Lent until we're back in this building, and we are going to celebrate the risen Jesus together. Okay? Something else I want you to think about as we are creatively imagining what it means to be the church and to do the church and be more missional as a church in this opportunity that we've been given. And I do think it's that. It is an opportunity of God. And what the enemy meant for evil, God will bring good out of it. Amen? So while we're in this place, I want to remind you of how important it is that you continue to give to the church. Over the next few weeks, as we all worship remotely and as we ask God to bring health to our neighbors and to ourselves, we ask that you remember the financial health of Grantham Church. Churches all over are calling their congregants to remember this, right? You can easily make your regular gifts to Grantham by any of the three methods that you see on the screen now before you. You can use our online giving option, or you can text to give at 717-506-5028. That's 717-506-5028 are two easy methods that you can use to make your gifts to the church. And of course, you can simply mail a check weekly or at the interval which makes sense for you to give to the church. In the 2 weeks leading up to the cancellation of our services, we had excellent giving. We need to know that. We are thankful for your faithful and generous support of our mission. We are ahead of the budget, and we're heading into this time apart from each other, so financially we stand in a good place. We completely understand that this financial situation we find ourselves in, and some of you find yourselves in, may be a difficult time for you. So if you're able and you have the means, please help by continuing or increasing your support during this time. Any additional support that you can provide may make up for someone else who has been impacted financially and is forced to reduce their support. So finally, remember that you can email our executive pastor, Dan Bisbee, if you have any giving questions. And I just want to thank you, Grantham Church. Thank you for continuing to support your staff and your congregation as we move forward with being Christ to others during this pandemic. May God bless you for your faithful, even sacrificial in some cases, giving to the ongoing work of the church. So each Sunday we practice the prayers of the people. If you're regularly with us at Grantham, you know it's an important part of what we do. We offer up all of our prayers to God before the hearing of the word. And at the end of those prayers, we close our time in saying the Lord's Prayer together. That's a regular part of our spiritual and religious pattern. It's a regular part of our liturgy. So I want to continue to do that in the weeks ahead and ask that you would join me now in praying the prayers of the people. Let's pray together. Father, we recognize that we are in a crisis, and none of us escapes it. This is a global pandemic. And Lord, while this may surprise us and cause us to fear, we know that you are not surprised and you do not fear. Lord, but you are God and we are not. And we ask, Father, that you would help us in our great time of need. And we pray specifically this morning, Lord, for the doctors, for the nurses, for the caretakers and researchers and first responders. Lord, some of these folks in our own congregation, we pray for folks like Ange Wenger, Heidi Curry, Christina Weber, Aaron Brinzer, Jody Smiley, Marnie O'Donnell, and Cheryl Wolf. And I know there are others. We pray for them, for our local, state, and federal government officials who are making difficult decisions. We pray for them. Lord, for the leaders within the CDC, within the WHO, Pennsylvania Department of Health, and other organizations seeking to fight to stop this virus, we pray for them. We pray for their protection. We pray for wisdom, God, as they seek to help the world. Lord, we pray that we would be the people that you've called us to be, and that you would be with the people making decisions that affect the lives and the futures of our families, communities, countries, and the wider world. Inspire us, Lord, and invigorate people developing better tests to diagnose the virus, vaccines to prevent it, and protocols and communication to eliminate the disease's spread. God, for those who are infected with COVID-19, those who have who've lost loved ones in our state, in our country, and around the world, for those who are in quarantine and isolated, for the elderly and people of all ages who have chronic health conditions that put them at high risk for getting this disease. We pray especially, God, for our friends at Messiah Lifeways, Messiah Village. God, we ask that you protect them from harm and be their comfort in this time of uncertainty. And God, we also want to remember Messiah College and folks like President Kim Phipps and Randy Basinger and the faculty and the staff at Messiah College who are trying to lead in a very difficult time and having to make difficult decisions. God, give them your peace. Give them your wisdom and guidance. For the students, Lord, who are now away from campus, many of them, we pray for them that you would give them peace. God, we know that these students, some of them, our lives are thrown all out of whack, and seniors who are preparing to graduate, we pray that you would give them a peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord, that you would work it out and just set their hearts at ease, that everything is going to be okay, Lord. And God, we pray for specific people in our congregation, folks like Dwayne Johnson, Dwayne who was recently laid off from his job due to the economic impact caused by this virus. And God, we know there'll be more. There'll be others. For others in our church currently who've been impacted and will be impacted economically by COVID-19, we pray for your peace and we pray for your provision. And may that peace and provision come from you through the support and the resources of Grantham Church, which we are willing, God, to help with as a family of believers. God, we pray for others specifically, Franny McNichol and Billy McNichol. We pray as they request prayers for their sister and their sister's, Franny's sister and her sister's husband and their small town in Italy. Family that's in Italy, a town of almost all elderly residents and a woman who prepares food for many of them who may have come down with the virus herself. We pray for her and her healing in that village, that you would reveal yourself in a powerful way to them. God, for Billy's younger brother, who's in the hospital with significant pain, we pray for his healing. For Brad Stacknick, who has requested prayer for his brother Ted and Ted's family, their 8 children, and his wife Jeannie, who is experiencing a medical emergency, unrelated to COVID-19, but still serious and been hospitalized. We pray for their healing and their protection. Lord, for all of us who are stuck in our homes, moms and dads with their children, we pray for wisdom and patience for them as well, and for peace. God, help us to discover healthy new routines together. God, for school administrators and teachers who must continue to teach and guide their students virtually, we ask that you would guide them. For those who might be at a greater risk, God, during this time, being in homes, a greater risk for domestic violence, we pray for protection. We pray for protection for those folks, for those who are struggling with serious mental health issues right now involving anxiety, serious anxiety and depression, and those who are considering even self-harm. God, we ask that you calm the raging storm in their souls. Do this, Lord, we pray. Jesus, for all those who continue to work in life-sustaining businesses, we thank you for them, and we want to ask that you'd protect them. Give them your strength and help them to know that you are present. Bless those who work in hospitals and pharmacies and grocery stores and those in postal services and gas stations and for leaders and pastors and churches. We pray for those, Father, who are doing this kind of work in the midst of the risks and the threat of this virus. God, for Grantham Church and the churches in this country and around the world, we pray, God, that we would experience you in a new, powerful, revelatory way, which we would not be able to any other way. Meet us in this crisis. Meet us in our darkest hour, in our deepest need. We pray, Lord. We pray these things because you taught us to pray these things, asking that your kingdom would come. And join me at home, church. Join me in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen, church. So as I said before, this time that we find ourselves in requires that we do church a bit differently. And so for my messages, that's going to look a little bit different. I'm not going to film myself behind the pulpit, imagining that I'm preaching to a great crowd of people. That just doesn't make sense to me or to your staff. So what we want to do is shift gears a little bit and bring messages in this way, which may feel more like teaching at times than preaching, though the preaching will come out, right? That's because that's who I am. But it still will be a little bit different, a little bit more intimate or personal. And that's what you can expect in the weeks ahead, as well as shorter messages. I won't go on for 30 to 40 minutes as I usually do when we're all in the sanctuary together. Some of you will think that's really great news, and others of you may be a little bummed. Maybe some of you. I don't know. Hey, so if you would, we're coming now to the time of the message. Go grab your Bible. If you don't already have it, run down the hall, get it from your nightstand. Grab your Bible, if you would, and maybe a notepad, something to write with if you want to take some notes. Because what I'd like for you to think about doing at the conclusion of the message is to discuss it with your family, or get a friend on the phone, or get together with your small group, as we are encouraging that you do through video chat or by phone, to get with your small group at some point, and I'll be posting small group discussion questions for you to use as well. But I want you to be thinking about that together. We're always asking, what is God saying to you, and what are you going to do about it? Okay, so grab your Bible, and if you would, go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and 1 John is at the end of your New Testament. And as you're turning to 1 John chapter 4 for our scripture reading this morning, let me just say a brief prayer. And go ahead and find that or do what you need to do, but just listen as I pray. Father, we ask now that your Holy Spirit would open up our hearts and our minds to hear from you. Lord, we need to hear from you. We pray that we would hear your voice clearly through the scriptures and clearly through the message that you've laid on my heart. Lord, bless Grantham Church and all those who are listening. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, here is the scripture reading for Sunday, March 22nd. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. This is verse 16. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they've seen cannot love God whom they've not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The sermon, or the message, whatever you want to call it, the homily title this morning, is Perfect Love Drives Out Fear. And you may have already noticed that we're still in Lent, yes, but not quite sticking to the sermon series that we were doing, The Unvarnished Jesus. Now, I'm thinking that we'll probably come back to that series in some different ways, but obviously I have felt led, and I think you'll agree, that it would be good to directly address some of the things that we're experiencing, that we're going through right now. So that's what we're going to do in this message, Perfect Love Drives Out Fear. So think about this. Fear is a powerful emotion, is it not? It's a powerful emotion. You know, fear comes from that part of our brain, the most primitive part of our brain, called the amygdala. And the amygdala is where we have the fight or flight part of the brain, right? It tells us to fight, or it tells us to flee and to run. And right now, if we're honest, many of us are experiencing the ignition, the igniting of the amygdala, where we're experiencing a great level of fear and of panic. And, you know, neuroscientists will tell you, you continue to live in that. Like if we were back in caveman days, you know, and that fear impulse is meant to be used for us to be leery of danger, to run from danger, to save our lives, you know. But if that's always at work, it actually is very harmful to our bodies. It's very destructive to our bodies. It throws our bodies all out of whack with hormones and our emotions. We don't think clearly when we're operating out of the amygdala instead of the prefrontal cortex, right? The thinking part of the brain. So think about it. Fear is a powerful emotion. It can control all of who we are. And many of us are experiencing that now. You remember the video I sent out earlier in the week. I mentioned a couple of episodes where Jesus calms the storm. And I mentioned Matthew 14, the very first sermon that I had preached, where Jesus walks on the water. And that was the scene, you remember, where the disciples see him walking on the water. They think he's a ghost or apparition or something. It really scares them to death. If they weren't already scared, they certainly are now. But yeah, they're scared to death. And Jesus comes walking on the water. And this is the episode where he calls Peter out of the boat. You remember? Now think about this with me. Think about how frightened these disciples are in the storm. And they see Jesus coming to them on the water. Look at this picture. Take a look at this picture. Gaze at this picture. Jesus comes to them on the water, these frightened disciples. You know they're fearful. The storm is raging. The waves are building. And then there's Jesus. Now, look, we can't fault the disciples for being fearful, right? Can't fault the disciples for that. We're human beings, and we have amygdala for a reason. So we don't fault the disciples for being fearful. But at some point, belief has to kick in, right? At some point, we have to have faith. And this is what Jesus is looking for, right? Hey, Paul said this to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Paul said, we weren't given a spirit of fear. We weren't given a spirit of fear, but instead a spirit of love and self-discipline. You think back to that picture. By the way, I have this picture hanging on my wall in my office. It's very meaningful to me. I gaze at it often, certainly more often these days. But if you gaze at that picture and you think about it, this is Jesus walking on the water. He's not the spirit of fear, right? The Holy Spirit is with Jesus. This is a spirit, as Paul said, a spirit of love. A spirit of self-discipline. And Jesus gives us that spirit. this spirit that we can have to be calm in the midst of a storm. To be agents of calm, as I said earlier in the week. You see, because fear is the opposite of love. If you think back to 1 John 4, fear is the opposite of love. Fear is contrary to love. A spirit of fear is contrary to love. When we're living in fear, we can't love, right? And neuroscientists will tell you that when your amygdala is operating, you can't think. The same thing applies. When your amygdala is constantly operating, you're operating out of a spirit of fear, not only can you not think clearly, you can't love. It's not possible. So think about that. A spirit of fear leads to self-absorption. A spirit of fear leads to irrational behavior. A spirit of fear leads away from faith. And think about it. If God is love, or maybe we should say, since God is love, as the writer of John says, since God is love, fear moves us away from a sense of God's presence. Now you think about that. Fear moves us away from a sense of God's presence. And none of us want that, right? None of us want that. But the scriptures tell us that we should take heart because nothing can actually separate us from God's love. Have you heard that before? Somebody say amen. Nothing can actually separate us from God's love. So the spirit of fear is a liar. The spirit of fear is a liar, is a deceiver. And we know where that spirit comes from. This is a manipulative weapon of Satan himself. And we should rebuke it. Again, nothing can actually separate us from God's love. Isn't that what Paul said in Romans chapter 8? Do you remember this? Let me read that to you. This is from the New Living Translation. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 35. Paul says, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or we're persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or even threatened with death?" Paul says, "As the scriptures say, for your sake we're killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep." And then in verse 37, he said, "No, despite all these things, your worst fears, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." And then he says in verse 38, "And I am now convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, including COVID-19. Nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." I love that, and that comes from one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Romans chapter 8. Listen, folks, this means, what does this mean? It means that love, and knowing that love, that love in Christ and experiencing that love in Christ is the key to overcoming our fears, right? Jesus walking on the water. There is our hope, right? There is our hope. There is the spirit of love and of power and of self-discipline coming to us in the boat. And folks, we're all in the boat. We're all in the boat. And here comes Jesus. And we want to experience Jesus in the boat. Amen? That's what we want. And go back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. And listen to this. And I'm nearing the end here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. This is what John told us. He said, "There is no fear in love because perfect love drives out fear." Perfect love drives out fear. Now get this. In the Greek, the word there for perfect is the word we get telos. Right? We've talked about that word a lot, granted. The end goal. Perfect love, complete love at the finish line, which looks like Jesus, right? Love at the finish line for us is when we are fully fashioned and formed in Jesus' image. And that's what we're aiming for. That's what we're striving for. Perfect love, right? perfect love, when love is made complete in us, it drives out the fear. Here's another thing. In the Greek, the word there for drives out or casts out, maybe in your version, is the word, the same word that's used for when Jesus casts out demons. Listen to that. Perfect love, complete love, the love of Jesus in us, when he's in our boat, when he's in our life, casts out, exorcises fear. That's good news, church. Perfect love drives out fear. And John goes on to talk about a punishment. You know, don't think that COVID-19 is a punishment from God. That is not the God revealed in Jesus. The God revealed in Jesus loves us and meets us where we are and suffers with us. He's the God who walks on the raging waters of our storm and gets in the boat with us, calls us out of the boat even, and says, experience my love and power. Experience my ability to save. Isn't that what we need right now, church? Isn't that what the world needs from us? It needs to hear from us. So let me finish this way. If you're taking notes, you might jot this down. Let's ask that question. How do we drive out the fear? How do we exorcise the fear with perfect love? Three things, real fast. The first thing is name the fears. Right? Name the fears. You notice Jesus cast out demons, he did that. He asked for the demon's name, right? You remember that? Yeah, sure you do. Jesus calls out the name of the demon. And this is what we need to do. Name the fear. What are you afraid of? Name it. Just say it right now. Just say it right now with your family even, or if you're there by yourself, name it. Write it down. Name your fear. What are you afraid of? Number two, ask yourself this. Is that thing, that fear, those fears, is that thing able to separate you from the love of God? Now listen, I just read that, right? That nothing, nor height, nor depth, nor angels, nor demons, nor anything that we're worried about in life, including COVID-19 or dying from it, can separate us from the love of God. And folks, the only way to know and experience that truth is to turn your eyes upon Jesus. And remember, that's what Peter forgot to do, or that's what he neglected to do. Remember, Jesus called him out of the boat. He walks on the water. Why does he sink? Because he took his eyes off Jesus and put his eyes on the chaos around him. You know, I'm reminded what Fred Rogers said his mother told him. When you're watching stuff on the news, it's kind of scary. Find the helpers. In other words, do what the New Testament says. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Where do you see Jesus at work? Where do you see Jesus walking on the waters of your storm and the storm that's raging in this world? I told you three things. The first one, name the fear. Call it out. Number two, ask yourself, is that thing able to separate you from the love of Christ? And if you need help, the answer is no. Yeah, right? Let the hope of resurrection inform those fears. We have a God who raises the dead. Not even death can stop us. And then number three, choose love by looking to Christ instead of looking to your fears. That's what I meant, right? By Peter taking his eyes off Jesus. Don't look at the raging waters or listen to the fear-mongering voices in the storm. You might want to turn those voices off if fear is getting the better of you. You might want to take your eyes off the sea and put your eyes on the sun. Folks, that is my message for this morning. And I hope that it encourages you. And I want to implore you to discuss this with others and encourage one another. Name the fears. Ask yourself, can this separate me from the love of God? I bet you'll find the answer is no. And three, remember, choose to look at Christ and not your fears in the storm around you. Father, bless Grantham Church. Bless us as we follow you in this storm. We turn our eyes upon Jesus now, and we give ourselves to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great week, church. Love you.